Hi, and welcome back. I'm Simi Lerner, and this is the Judaism From Within podcast, the podcast where we go through the ideas, the philosophy, the perspective of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. And right now, we're going through his rationale that lies at the core of the commandments in the Torah, the relevance, the way we can engage them in our lives in a meaningful way. The law that we are going to discuss today is the idea of setting up a home. Now, on the one side, this sounds fairly mundane and terrestrial, but on the other hand, it's quite transcendent. Setting up a home is very basic. It's the requirement for a man to put himself into a financially viable position, and also psychologically viable position, to be able to go and get married. The responsibility primarily lies on the male to do this. Now, obviously, it requires two to tango. Both a male and a female are essential to the building of the foundation of Judaism, hence its transcendent quality. Without that, there is no Judaism. Without that, there is no community. And Judaism isn't about this blip, isolated individualism, however much the modern world might like it to be. It's a communal endeavor. We look at ourselves as being part of a greater kahal, Klal Yisrael. Our individuality is enriched through this, not diminished, but it's central, hence its transcendent quality of building a home. And for now, we are going to focus on the material side. The reason I'm saying this is because in the modern world, we recognize that you're able to make individual arrangements. In the ancient world, you probably could as well. It was probably less common, in which case you can balance things out. You can balance things out between the man and the woman, take different responsibilities, share roles. But the responsibility lies with one of them, meaning it's on him to put together a home that is viable to be able to invite a woman into it. Now, the way Rav Hirsch talks about this is that he says, well, it's the man's responsibility to bring the material in, but the employment and the control of that which is brought in is in the domain of the female. It is her responsibility to cultivate the home, to make the home a place that is best suited for living out the mission of the Jewish people, to cultivate the individuals morally and spiritually to live out that mission. That is her responsibility. Now, once again, that doesn't mean he's devoid from this completely, but that is where the responsibility lies. And his responsibility is on the financial material means. And this is important to point out, because we're going to talk about the importance of this. Let's put it in a very mundane way. You're having a conversation with a young man who is thinking about what to do with his life. Why should he get married? Why should he start a home? Rav Hirsch opens with that, but then leans into the responsibility that if you're going to do this, you have to do this with integrity. You have to do this with responsibility. You have to have a job. You have to have the means to provide for the individual you are inviting into your circle. Without this, you're doing harm. Now, he does leave the opening that if a person's involved in spiritual endeavors and has another means, meaning he is doing no harm through not engaging in material gain, then there's a place for that as well. You need scholars, you need rabbis, you need people who are involved in the spiritual production of the community. But this is only okay if you're doing no harm. So, hopefully that made sense. So what are we talking about? We're talking about setting up a home. We've spoken about the not hierarchical relationship between setting up a home. We talked about the complementary roles that a male and a female play and how the financial responsibility lays on the man. And we're going to develop that because that's where Rav Hirsch warns us against the danger and the self-deception that comes into play when you're involved in such a responsibility. But let's open it with his argument. Young man comes up to you and says, What should I do? Should I get married or should I carry on cruising along? Well, Rav Hirsch asks, well, this is a task that you're being asked to engage in. Let's reflect. What is the most noble task you could possibly engage in? Well, analyze the subject and the purpose of that task. The subject of the task is the production of human beings, the most noble creature on God's green planet, the crown of creation. So the subject is the most noble, the most potential. The goal, though, what is the goal? Well, the goal is the living out of one's mission in relationship to God, in which case the subject is the creation of other human beings, the production of the community of Israel, or the community of the humanity in general, and the purpose can only be achieved in this way, meaning you need human beings to achieve the goal of humanity, you need human beings to achieve the goal of the Jewish people. So both the subject and the goal of setting up a home is in the pursuit of that which is most noble, so what else could you do? You could look at this as the moral responsibility of having children, the moral obligation to the pursue setting up a home. It's an interesting way of looking at it, I believe, because you're talking about it from a moral standpoint, not from an individual standpoint. Obviously, there are individual benefits, but let us focus on the community. Let us focus on your mission in the world. Not to populate the planet to, I don't know, get over a certain threshold to be able to repopulate or replace the aging population. No, there is a moral obligation because you're here for a reason, and the best way for you to achieve that reason is to bring people into this world that can engage in purpose, that can engage in this higher mission, be you a Jew or a non-Jew. So I think that's a good opening to this conversation. So we've got the purpose. Why get married? Because what else could you do? Why set up a home? Because the most important responsibility is laying at your footsteps, and it's your responsibility to pick it up. I think couching it as a moral mission is inspiring. It's a responsibility. So let's play it out. You have the responsibility to get married and have children. Why? Because you're bringing subjects into this world that are the most noble. You're not breeding raccoons. You're producing human beings, the most noble creature in this world that has the potential to do good. And through doing this, you engage in your mission. You engage in your purpose as a Jew in this world. Now let's talk about the financial side of things. Rav Hirsch talks about the importance and the responsibility to be able to make a framework to invite a woman in, meaning you're looking for a wife. You're looking to go date. He gives dating advice as well, but we'll put that to one side for the moment. Where do you have to be? Well, he points out that the responsibility comes upon you when you're 18 years old. Okay, you're 18 years old. What's next? You need a job. What type of job? Well, Rav Hirsch points out that independence is important, obviously, because if you're dependent on someone else, then you're influenced by someone else. Independence is important, but the integrity of the job you choose is more important. This allows us to circle back to our conversation about Talmud Torah. We're all obligated to study the law, to study the Torah, regardless of your job. Your job isn't your vocation. It is not your calling. Your calling is the Torah, your relationship with the Almighty. That is your calling. The job is a means to an end. And the means here, something Rav Hirsch points out in Parashas B'Shalach, the enormity of this responsibility, the truth of this responsibility to provide for your family, risks taking over. And this is worth sitting in for a moment. Rav Hirsch talks about that we are obligated to provide for our family. It's not a privilege. It's not a, if you're in the mood. It's a responsibility. And what lays at the precipice of this responsibility is financial crisis, financial difficulty, starvation. That is a big responsibility. And the danger of that responsibility, let me phrase it differently, the anxiety of such a responsibility risks taking over and forces us and often encourages us to make as much money as possible, to trade in things that matter for things that don't. What I mean by that is, because of the enormity of this responsibility, you might feel the need to just make. Trade in whatever you have in life for more money. And Rav Hirsch warns that that's not the Jewish way. You're obligated to be responsible, not make as much money as possible. And he points to the fact that the Jewish people were in a desert when this lesson was taught, a desert which there really was nothing, and that's where the manna came. The Jewish people were responsible to go out and get the manna. They were responsible to put aside extra for Shabbos, but they weren't allowed to be greedy. They weren't allowed to hoard. And Rav Hirsch, that is a message of how we should engage in making a living. You can't control the outcome, but you can do your part. There's a work ethic that's being described in Parashas B'Shalach, the responsibility of making a living, parallel to the Jewish people in the desert, genuine anxiety, and God provided. We're trying to live that out in our own lives. The idea that we are supposed to make money, provide for our families, be responsible, but not go too far. Not allow either the glitter of money or the anxiety of the need to make a living overtake our higher purposes. Philosophers often describe the danger of what they call the last man, a situation where at the end of days, man is so comfortable he loses higher purpose. Every comfort has the ability to make you lose higher purpose, but also anxiety has the ability to make you lose higher purpose. And Rav Hirsch encourages us of the importance of not losing sight that this is a means to an end, not the ends in and of itself. So, let us recap. We spoke about the responsibility to set up a home, and who that rests on. We distinguished between a hierarchy and a complementary role. We spoke about the argument you would give, the argument Rav Hirsch gives about the nobility of this purpose, and then we spoke about the importance of engaging in this purpose. And you engage in this purpose as a man by putting yourself in a position to be able to do it responsibly. You have a job. You have the means. You then invite someone in to, so to speak, take control of those means that you've put into play. They come into your home, and they develop your home. They cultivate your home towards the mission of the Jewish people, towards the mission of your relationship with the Almighty. So, a caveat for the end. Obviously, this responsibility to set up a home, and this responsibility to put yourself into a position where you have the ability to do this, lies on every Jew when they reach the age of 18 to work towards this. But what of one who's studying? What of the one who is engaging in the spiritual pursuits of the community? Rav Hirsch says, if someone is in that situation, well, they can hold off from making a living, as long as it causes no harm. Now, this is an important caveat, because if someone's providing for you, you might say, well, wait a minute, I'm working towards the help of the community, or I'm studying to become a rabbi, a teacher, and someone is willing to sponsor that. A person can say, well, are you allowed to do that? Rav Hirsch says, you are, but you must be careful that no harm is done. Because if harm is done, well, then you undermine the purpose to begin with. You can't engage in an evil for the hope of some good in the future. If no harm is being done, there is definitely a place for this. So, we spoke about setting up a home. We spoke about the argument that lays at the core of it. Why are we doing this? And then we spoke about the process you go through to engage in it. As always, my thanks and appreciation for your time, and have a wonderful week.